Well, welcome you as you grab your end your conversation and make your way back to your place. Hopefully you got to meet a new friend, meet an old friend, give a greeting. I'm always excited to have Teen Challenge. We love what the transformations that come out of there and the faithfulness, because it's hard work, Israel. We do, we think. So Kyle, would you come on? Are you the first guy up? Tell us what's going on.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, Pastor Scott, Pastor Kyle, and church, just for loving Teen Challenge so well for so many years and loving on us. And you know, it's a privilege to come out and share and to worship with you guys. I love worshiping with you guys. This morning, I'm excited though to share about the ministry of Teen Challenge and what we're doing. I'm pretty certain everyone in here knows what Teen Challenge is, but is there anyone here that does not know what Teen Challenge is? How many of you guys know we're more than a thrift store down the road? Hey, that's good. I asked that because people are like, why are the thrift store here sharing the church? Like, well, it's not exactly what we do, but yes, if you shop at our Super Thrift, thank you so much. Yeah, we are super excited to share about Teen Challenge, the ministry. Most of the sharing is going to be these guys sharing their hearts, their testimonies of what God's doing in their life. And I want to tell you guys, this is a message of hope today. And we're in a time where we need hope. There's a lot of reasons we just need hope. We all need hope. And so my prayer is that this morning your hearts will be open to receive something. And whether it's just hope for someone else or hope for yourself. We serve a God of hope, and He loves us, and He's with us this morning. And so we're super excited. Before we keep going, I'm actually going to share a video that we have about our program.
In 1958, David Wilkerson traveled to New York City to preach the gospel to teenage gangs. He quickly recognized that drug and alcohol addiction was consuming the lives of the youth. Adult and Teen Challenge was founded to address the growing addiction epidemic. And today, the need is greater than ever, and everything we do always comes back to our primary mission, to make disciples. We want to put hope within reach of every addict. In 1983, Mike Hodges opened the first campus in Oregon, and now the Adult and Teen Challenge Pacific Northwest Family of Ministries has expanded to 5 states throughout the region. For the last 4 decades, we have been growing and refining our approach to the discipleship process. We recognize that people need more than just sobriety. They need every area of their life to be transformed by the gospel. So we offer a comprehensive approach to recovery. At the core of our ministry is our residential recovery program. When students walk through our doors, they meet Jesus. And when they meet Jesus, the transformation process begins. Within the structure of a campus and in the community of peers and our staff, they develop spiritual disciplines. They learn how to pray, how to study scripture, how to worship, and how to be lifelong disciples of Christ. And as their faith grows, they find freedom.
It's a sanctuary. It's a place to check out from this craziness of this world and not have all the pressures of responsibilities, but just one thing in mind, establishing a relationship with the Lord.
Addiction creates complex behavioral health challenges, so we have integrated Life Renewal to provide state-approved counseling by our own professionally trained addiction counselors. Our students participate in individual and group therapy, and our counselors equip them with the tools they need to heal from their past and apply biblical principles to their lifelong recovery.
We are offering students evidence-based treatment with a Christian worldview. This will allow them to live their lives in a more successful and positive way, while also helping them stand strong in their identity.
We were designed to work, created to be productive. So our vocational training program helps our students establish the skills needed to be productive members of our society. Our thrift stores, work crews, and other vocational experiences teach important life skills, teamwork, leadership, stewardship, and integrity. We help students discover the joy of an honest day's work. And rather than sitting on the sidelines during their recovery, they build confidence as they put their new skills into practice.
I see students really adapt very well in the stores. They're enjoying the environment they're in. They're productive. There's a reward in work that you've never seen before with students. The work that our students do sets them up to thrive once they leave our program.
Discipleship is not just about learning the gospel, but also living it out. David Wilkerson founded this ministry on outreach. So Hope Outreach gives our students the opportunity to discover the joy of serving, to give back to their community, and to deliver hope beyond our campus walls. We work with local partners to bring compassion to our communities. Our students share their stories to bring prevention and awareness to local schools. We establish community discipleship groups for those in recovery, and we share the hope we have found in Christ through evangelism. At Adult and Teen Challenge, our comprehensive approach to recovery is allowing us to broaden our reach and improve outcomes for our students. Our comprehensive approach helps us put hope within reach of every addict and make lifelong disciples.
Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus.
So that's a really cool thing to see someone being given that opportunity to experience hope for the first time, and everything about them begins to change.
I just have an undeniable passion for God. He has brought me through so much, and it honestly could only come from him.
Probably the best decision I've ever made coming to the program. The program really molded me into a man of God. Like, when I came in the program, I was a kid. I was 18 years old. And it was in the program that I learned how to become a man as a student. Teen Challenge has helped save my life.
Amen. So I'm going to share how this comprehensive approach, how locally it's impacting us in the community. So there's four parts to the comprehensive approach. The first one I talked about was the 12-month discipleship program, right, which started here in the Northwest in Lebanon 40 years ago. Can you believe that? The first center right down the road 40 years ago here in Lebanon, and here we are later with 13 centers in the Pacific Northwest. But it is it's a 12-month program, but then you have to do another 4 months of aftercare before you actually graduate. So we are located in the old elementary school out in Shedd. I know you guys have all heard of Shedd, right? We're out in the old elementary school. Right now we have 46 beds. We have 34 of them full, which is amazing. But we want every bed full. We're in the old elementary school, and guys are there, and basically from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., they are in a strict program where we put Jesus first in everything. And so we know he is the answer. We're not putting Band-Aids on anything. We're going to give you Jesus, because we know when Jesus gets a hold of your life, he changes your life, right? Yeah. You know, we don't want to treat symptoms. And some guys come in, they're like, I'm here for drugs and alcohol. I'm like, I'm giving you Jesus. That's it. Watch what happens, because the old is gone, the new is coming. You're going to watch it. And it's amazing to see that. Actually, some of the testimonies this morning, you're going to hear from guys that just graduated or staff, and it's just amazing to see what God does. So for 12 months, they're in a program that's intense, discipleship. They do 15 hours a week in a biblical curriculum, getting a biblical foundation, a biblical worldview. We have chapels 3 or 4 times a week. We are in churches every Sunday. This is the outreach team, but the churches travel, or the students travel to different churches. So it's an intense program where, you know, they're learning a little bit of grit in their program. People say, why 12 months? Why not 30 days? It takes some time to break habits. And I'm reminded actually in Romans 5, where it says perseverance builds character and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. Sometimes we got to learn to persevere. We all want the easy button today, 2023, 2024, we just want an app, right? Well, that's not the way it works sometimes. And these guys go out and they work for the program, and they have to learn grit. There's some power in grit. The other part of our comprehensive approach was the thrift stores, and we have one in Lebanon here, we have one in Eugene, we have one in Albany, one in Salem. So our guys go out and they work in the thrift stores 5 days a week for 5 hours a day. And this is really important for a couple reasons. One, they get to go practice what they're learning in their discipleship. So they get to go to the thrift store, and they get to interact with the community, and then they get to practice those things. And also, how many of you guys know that when you have to work for something, it means a little more? So when you actually got to go out and it's not just given you, but man, when you're actually putting some of that time and work into your program, it means something. You've worked for it. You know that there's some buy-in. And that's part of that grit, and it's really powerful, and the thrift stores help us immensely. The other part of our comprehensive approach that was shared is our outreach. I love outreach. Outreach is amazing. It is the funnest part of the program, and we have to have it, right? And so what I love about it is this ministry started with outreach. David Wilkerson in the 50s felt called to leave his little Pennsylvania church and go to the courthouse because there's four teens on trial for murder, right? So he drives 8 hours into this courtroom in New York, and he barges in there because he wants to tell them about Jesus, and they kick him out. He said, "You're crazy, dude." Kick him out, right? Well, this is what I love about it. So he gets out of the courtroom, they kick him out, and the media crew's there because it's a big story, and they're out there, and they have the media team with all the cameras, and they say, hey, pastor, what do you got in your hand, right? And he has his Bible. He goes, "My Bible." He goes, "Do you actually believe what that thing says?" He goes, "Yeah." "Why don't you hold it up like you believe it?" So he holds it up, and they take a snapshot, and guess what? The next day on the New York Times front page, there's David Wilkerson's picture, and God used that as outreach to the whole city. And all of a sudden, he just goes into community. He never got to reach those kids, but he reached all sorts of other kids. And this started with street evangelism outreach. You know, we're going into the gutters of New York, the places that most people wouldn't dare go. And he felt called to do that, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And later on, they built a center called Teen Challenge. How many of you guys know these aren't teens? Well, we grew way out of our name years ago, right? These are definitely not teens. So you know, today we have over 250 centers in the U.S. and over 1,000 worldwide. And it all started with a man being obedient to God doing outreach. And today, we outreach is still the heart of our ministry. So you might see some of our guys outside of Walmart. How many of you guys ever seen our booths outside of Walmart? Right? It's pretty fun. So they go there and they just preach to people coming into Walmart, that's a great place to preach to people, by the way. Outside of Walmart. You know, they just hijack the conversation. "Hey, let me tell you about this program. You want to help?" They just tell them about Jesus. We have people coming into the program because they're outside of Walmart preaching. And so, you know, we're out doing services like this. Here's something amazing. God's opened the door for us. We have been in the Sweet Home, Lebanon, Albany, Halsey public schools. We go in there and we do prevention in the public schools. God's allowed us to do that. I mean, he just opened the doors. Most churches find it very difficult to get into the public school. But God's opened those doors. They call us. And that's sad because it also talks about where we're at today. Because there's overdoses in these schools. And they don't know what to do. So they're reaching out. So we go and we do that. We're praying that God opens doors in Eugene and Salem. Because we know those schools need a message. And we're just praying God really uses that in a mighty way. We do evangelism on the streets. We go into the tent cities where the houseless are, and we evangelize and we love on them, and if they're ready, we'll pull them in that van and bring them to the program. You know, our heart is right there to put hope within reach, and so we shouldn't have any empty beds. Amen. Honestly, I know for a fact that in Lebanon alone, we can fill every single empty bed, probably in like a 5-block radius. But I know for a fact that we can, and that's our heart. We don't want to, you know, we want to be so full that we have to send guys to other centers. And because they need this. They need Jesus. Guys are coming to radically being saved. Revival's happening at the centers. The dead's coming to life. And so outreach is the heart of what we do. And the other part is our life renewal program, which is phenomenal. Life renewal, which they shared on there. We have clinical counselors that are Christians that are working with our students every morning in group therapy. And so they work really close with them. And this is opening doors for us in the court systems. We're being recognized as a licensed program. We keep Jesus first in everything we do. So they're licensed clinical Christians that work with our guys. But judges send us guys now. Judges and POs and attorneys, they love our ministry because they know it's hard and it works. They've loved our ministry for a long time, but now they have more of a reason to send them to us because we're licensed. There was a guy, it was probably a year ago, that came in the program. He said, "The judge sent me here, and I don't even know where I'm at." I'm like, "Well, go judge." And I guess the judge told him, "I'm sending you a teen challenge because if you don't change, they'll kick you out." I'm like, "All right, good job, judge. He's here. We're going to work with him." So Anyways, that's how locally the comprehensive approach is applying to our shed facility. And so let me pray. These guys are going to come up and share with you. Lord, we just thank you for today, Lord. We just continue to worship, glorify you, Lord God, through testimony and, Lord, what you're doing. And, God, we thank you, Lord, for this ministry, for this church, what you're doing in this community. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint these men's words. And, God, that you would reach hearts. We'd open our hearts to you, that you would speak to us this morning. And, Lord, we love you and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, our guys have a reality truth skit for you.
Good morning. Reality is, being raised in a family of addicts teaches you to be just like them. You'd walk in a false sense of self just to feel loved and accepted. Reality is, you would destroy the very family that you used with, becoming a pathological liar, lying, being lied to, and believing all of it. Reality is, you would find love in a relationship with a woman, which would leave you suicidal when that love was just another lie that took everything from you. Reality is, you'd become your own worst enemy and a nightmare for everyone around you, spoiled, entitled, addicted, really not caring who you hurt. Reality is, you'll become homeless, hopelessly addicted, getting high to not feel the pain that you actually caused yourself. How do I know this is reality? This is my reality.
Reality is running around different cities in search for something I couldn't find. Reality is losing your car, job, and your family to the use of drugs. Reality is not being in control of your life and being stuck in the cycle of addiction. Reality is running into traffic wishing a car would hit and kill you. How do I know this is reality? Because that was my reality.
Reality is being led down a road of destruction and chaos for over 30 years because you was chasing the ways of the world and the enemy. Reality is believing the enemy's lies that you're worthless, not good enough, and your kind is undeserving. Reality is having to go to prison 5 times due to a distorted thinking and a false sense of beliefs. Reality is being in a 6-day coma due to overdose on fentanyl. Reality is not being able to love or trust you, enough, hurting and letting anyone that ever got close to. How do you know that's reality? Because that's my reality.
The truth is, I am a new creation. I do have an identity in Christ. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things can become new. The truth is, God is restoring me and my family. Where I once caused the pain, now he uses that pain for healing in my family. The truth is, I'm not defined by my past, but refined in truth, useful for others going through the same things that I'm going through. The truth is, God has a plan, and it's not mine. And in his plans, he directs me in his promises. He tells me in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts to give you a hope and a future." The truth is, in the book of truth in Jeremiah 29:11, God gives me a future and a hope. But as I read a little bit further in Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." And that's the truth.
But the truth is, God was with me the whole time and it was him that I was looking for. But the truth is, God was in control and gave me a way out. But the truth is, I had to lose everything to find out that Jesus was more valuable. But the truth is, God's grace has shown me love and I will never turn back to the slave of addiction. In the book of truth, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Don't love money, be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." And that's the truth.
But the truth is, God has bigger plans for my life. That's why I stand today at Teen Challenge. But the truth is, I am set free and no longer defined by the prison time I've done. The truth is, I'm no longer led by the enemy because I have the Spirit of God in me. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The truth is, Jesus died on that cross and I'm valued in the kingdom of heaven. The truth is, all things are possible through Christ and I get to be there for my family and show them the love that he showed me. Now that you heard the realities, or the truths to our realities, I challenge you to seek the realities of your own truths. In the book of truth, John 8:32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
My name is Matthew. I'm 43 years old, and I was an addict and alcoholic for 30 years, and this is my testimony. For as far back as I can remember, my life has been filled with pain, sorrow, depression, and anxiety. I started out as a normal, happy child, but by the age of only 9, I was already experiencing death and the loss of everybody important in my life. Whether it was from divorce, cancer, cystic fibrosis, heart attack, overdoses, or suicides, there wasn't a year that went by where I wasn't losing some part of my life. I grew to the point where I almost expected something bad to happen to me because that was the only part of my life that was consistent. By the time I was 13, I was an emotional wreck using drugs and alcohol on a daily basis to numb my pain. I was full of hate, anger, and resented the fact that I'd ever even been born. By 14, I was an active member of a white supremacist group and committing unspeakable hate crimes and other various criminal activities. This hate and violence set the tone for the next 30 years of my life. After years of committing heinous crimes, constant drug abuse, numerous trips to jail, and hurting hundreds of innocent people, the guilt and shame of my actions grew so heavy on my soul that on March 16th of this year, I tried taking my own life. I woke up in Salem Hospital 3 days later on life support. When I opened my eyes, I thought I was dead. All I could see was a white light, and I couldn't hear a sound until a nurse came running into the room telling me to stay still, that I was in intensive care, and that everything was going to be okay. Then I asked myself, how? How could I still be alive after what I had just done? There could only be one plausible reason, that the very God that I cursed and swore that didn't exist or that I didn't believe in had mercy over me and had spared my life. I am now forever in debt to the Lord and my Savior, and from that moment forward, I decided to give my life over to Christ. I left the hospital and went straight into a detox center where I met a man named Gabriel, who after hearing my story, recommended me to Adult and Teen Challenge. After hearing all the amazing things about the program and the enormous success rate of it, of its graduates, I was drawn immediately. I made the call to Teen Challenge, and on March 27th, 2023, I arrived at the center. It wasn't easy admitting to myself just how broken I was, but from the time I stepped through the doors, I had a feeling of great love around me and knew I was right where I should be, in God's hospital for broken souls. My relationship with the Lord started almost immediately. I had never prayed for anything that was actually good for me in my entire life. It was always for material things or monetary gain. But my first faithful prayer was for God to remove all the hate, anger, and resentment from my broken heart and make me whole again. Later on that night, I decided to open a Bible for the first time in many years, hoping to find exactly what I needed at that moment, a reason to believe that my prayers could be answered. And by no accident, I opened up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and it reads, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And with that faithful promise, that prayer was answered the very next day. A mountain had been moved right before my eyes, and a crushing weight had been lifted from my soul. I felt a change had occurred, but wasn't quite sure what it was. Then it hit me. I'd woke up happy for the first time in over 30 years, and I wasn't worried about whether I was going to live or die that day, because I knew I was in God's hands now. I'm amazed at just how much my heart and mind have drastically changed. I no longer hold on to guilt or shame for my actions, nor do I hold on to the resentment for things that have happened to me in my past. But I only look forward to what every unpromised day has for me and what God has planned for me on this beautiful earth. And through his mercy and grace, I am whole again. Some days I think back and remember the way I had lived before and how I am now, and it's a miracle. The transformation that has taken place in my life. To go from a heartless monster full of anger, hate, and resentment to a man full of love and understanding. And now I understand and truly know why I'm here and what my purpose is. To give instead of take. to heal instead of hurt people, to love instead of hate, or sorry about that, and to share just how powerful the meaning of forgiveness really is. And with that being said, I would like to leave you all with this. As it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Thank you for listening to my story, and may God bless every one of you.
Good morning, church. My name is Richie. And just for a brief moment, I'd like to just show you a real quick video about sponsorship.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Brownsville.
Hi, my name is Adam.
My name is Jason.
My name is Joseph.
Faustino.
Amanda.
I was addicted to heroin and meth.
Drug of choice was opiates in general.
Bulimia. And then I masked that with severe alcohol.
Meth and heroin.
Addiction was like walking through hell.
The darkest time in my life.
It's very hard and it's lonely.
Chaos everywhere, depression all the time, and anger 24/7.
My whole family had abandoned me because of all of the pain and suffering I'd caused.
And I really had no drive or no hope or just no purpose of living.
I viewed myself as a junkie.
I saw myself as worthless. I saw myself as I deserve to live under that bridge.
The Adult and Teen Challenge program for me was a place of peace, a place where I could finally find out who I was, who I was intended to be, and who honestly God created me to be.
The program was easy for me to be in, but it required change, and that was the hard part for me.
It was difficult, but it was worth it.
No pun intended, it's challenging. It's definitely a beautiful process, but it's in no terms easy.
The hardest year ever, but the best.
I found who I was without drugs, without alcohol, without an eating disorder.
I learned that I'm chosen, that I'm accepted, that I'm loved.
God is a God of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace.
I found freedom from the chains that I'd worn my entire life.
And I learned that my past does not define me.
My identity now and forever is I'm a child of God.
I look to His word and the truth, and not to the lies of the enemy.
Honestly, it's all because of Jesus. Before, I was a dirtbag.
The trust that people have for me now. Nobody trusted me before I came in this program, and now I'm responsible for a campus, men's lives. God has entrusted me with a lot, and 12 years ago, that would not have been the case.
Sponsorship was an anchor in this wild program.
The sponsorship program is designed to help people get through the program that can't financially afford it.
It helps students know that there's someone out there who cares about them and is praying for them.
It was humbling, but it was also, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why somebody who didn't know me would want to pray for me. It was amazing because I had burnt a lot of bridges in my past, and I didn't think anybody cared enough to pray for me or want me to do better. And having a sponsor, I saw that there are people that cared.
I've seen guys who were on the brink of the edge, about to leave, and they received a letter from their sponsors, which gave them hope to stay another day.
To any of those sponsors out there that are listening that may have sponsored me, I want to say thank you.
I would like to say thank you to all my sponsors. They all made a difference. There was days when I wanted to give up and I wanted to quit. And I know it sounds cliche, but they sent that letter and they listened to God's voice and told me exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. That kept me going, kept me focused on the bigger picture and staying.
They help give that hope to somebody that doesn't have hope.
You make it possible for people like me.
Thank you to all of our current sponsors. You guys keep this program up and operational, so we can't thank you enough.
If you're considering on sponsoring a student, it can help change a life.
Help save a life. Help change a life. Put hope within reach.
So it doesn't take much to just drive around in our local communities, and even within some of our very own families or some of our friends' families, to see that something needs to change. Sponsorship is an opportunity to be a part of that change. It's an opportunity to sow into lives. And what is amazing to me is I get to watch it grow. God is using Teen Challenge to make evangelists. God is using Teen Challenge to make disciples, pastors. What the sponsorship is, it's a $45 a month pledge that helps support some of the students that come in from these homeless camps, from traumas and addictions, and even prisons. Because some of us actually, we've burned every bridge in our family. We've lied to our family so much that they really don't want nothing to do with us. And when you sponsor a student, you're putting that hope within reach. Let me tell you what I get to witness as coming from a student to an intern, and God opened the door for me to be staff. I've witnessed these guys go out into the community in front of Walmart at these homeless camps and pray for the lost and broken, only to watch them walk through the doors of Teen Challenge and give their lives to Jesus, and then stand right up here in front of these churches and give it right back. And it all stems from your prayers, from your sponsorship, from however you support Teen Challenge. Let me tell you how I actually know, because I myself had been incarcerated for over 20 years. I could tell you about all the traumas and dramas of addiction and abuse and neglect and crime and all that. And I actually deserved to be in prison. And I became so accustomed to being in prison that when I got pushed out into the COVID season and to the community, I seen all the destruction going on, and I just would rather be in prison, so I committed crime to get right back there. And a judge made me come to this place. And as I was going through these walls of Teen Challenge, and these people wanted to pray for me, and these people wanted to love on me, and these people wanted to give me scripture, I couldn't understand. Every time I had a question, they would go, "Well, let me give you a scripture." And I'm like, "What planet am I on?" And then one day I was at the thrift store, and I was going crazy, and I was thinking these people are looking over my shoulder, because as I started studying these scriptures that they were giving me, they started coming alive around me 2, 3, 4 times through the students. And me and my convict mentality, I'm thinking these dudes are trying to trick me into something. I went to the thrift store one day in Albany, and I was plotting on trying to leave, and I was plotting on trying to how to hit a lick so I could get out of here and just get to my normal. And a little old man walked through the doors of Teen Challenge, and it was before we opened. And he said, "Hey, I need directions out of this town." And I said, "I'll give you directions, old boy." And I walked out to the parking lot, and I said, "Hey, you just get on the freeway and you go north or south and you get on out of here." And the old man looks at me, and this is what he said to me, and I'll never forget it. He goes, "What is the eyewitness evidence? What is the evidence that Jesus died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, rose 3 days later and walked the earth for 40 days? What is the eyewitness evidence?" And me, in my smart aleck attitude, I'm like, "Why don't you tell me?" Because I'm trying to figure all this out. And what he says to me, he says, "Well, first Mary Magdalene was the first one to see him. Then it was Cephas. Then it was 500 brothers, the 12, James, then least of all me." And he's talking about Paul. And I looked at this old man, and I said to this old man, I said, "Hey, are you here to trick me? To try to convert me into believing in this Jesus Christ?" And he took the glasses off and he looked at me, and this is what he says. He says, "No," he says, "I'm lost in this town. And I came here. And now that I'm here, I believe that God made me get lost, directed me. And if you remember, you volunteered so I could tell you about a Savior who died for you." Every since that day, I've walked in what he says to do. And everything outside of him in me, I have been able to discern through his scriptures what is pouring into me. And it's churches like this, and sponsorships included. If you decide to sponsor today, You are doing just that. You're putting that hope, which is Jesus. I'm not the same person that I was, but today, because of this church and churches just like it everywhere across this whole world, that's what happens when you sponsor and support Teen Challenge. So I thank you for the privilege to speak about what only God can do in lives, and it's only Him. If you decide to sponsor today, we would love to help you walk through it back here at the table. And we have also, we have all kinds of information for you. If you have any loved ones, if you have any family that's in prison, or anybody with any issues whatsoever that want to come in and check out from this crazy world and be transformed from the inside out when they receive this gift. And it starts with these churches and what God's doing through them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richie. Just a powerful testimony of change, and it's absolutely amazing. And something Richie didn't share, but we don't ever turn anyone away for the inability to pay in this program. We just trust God. He does it, and it's partnering with churches and sponsorships and stuff like that. It's really, we just trust God, because we couldn't do it without you guys, but really that's what faith is, and trust in God. Before we close, I want to share a couple things. One, there are these cards in the back. These are crisis cards. These are so important, and I would encourage everyone in here to take them. We have people on the other side of these cards, the other side of this number, that's picking up the phone, and that's helping people get in the program. And so we've actually seen people hand these out, and they actually come through the program and graduate, because somebody handed them a crisis card. And so we just know the need's so great. There's such a conviction for us. Like, we shouldn't have empty beds. Like, really, we shouldn't. And the majority of students that come into our program actually are referred to by churches. That's the majority. And so I just know that there's brokenness and there's addiction everywhere. I mean, if I did a raise of hands, I'm sure all of you know somebody that's lost an addiction, struggling with addiction, struggling with alcohol, or of something like that. And I just encourage you guys can take every single one of those cards. We'll get more cards, but if you want to take them, even if you just hand them out to people that you see on the corner, wherever that is, we want to remove every obstacle and get them in the program, and because we know that God's moving, and we shouldn't have empty beds. We also have these connection cards if you want to connect more with the ministry. You know, I encourage you to fill that these out, and we'd love to connect with you. There's a verse that's coming to mind this morning I want to share with you guys. And it's in 1 Peter 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It says, "It's according to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This morning, this is a message of hope. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you've heard these testimonies and maybe God's put someone on your heart and you're like, man, there's this person that I know can use Teen Challenge, or this person that needs hope, I just want you to know that we're willing to lock arms with you. We'd like to pray with you. Even if you met with us after the service, that's okay. Anywhere, we just want to lock arms. And hope comes in many forms, right? It's not just addiction. There's medical issues that cause hope. There's financial issues that we need to have hope in. And I'm going to tell you, we still serve a miracle-working God. Do you guys believe that this morning? Rudy right here, he just graduated last Sunday. I'll be honest, he should. That's a miracle. These guys are miracles. We still serve a miracle-working God. And I hope this morning that there's hope, that you haven't lost hope. I want to tell you something. I am a victim of a praying mother. I am a victim of a praying mother. I was lost in my addiction for years, graduated this program in 2006. But I had a mother that prayed for me for years. And there's power in prayer. Do not lose hope. If there's still breath in their lungs, there's still hope for them. And so I just want to encourage you, if this morning that you need a hope, we'd lock arms with you. Maybe also this morning you heard one of these testimonies and you're like, I just want to pray for that guy. I just encourage you to do that too, because this program is hard. Like, it ain't easy. It is hard. What these guys do every day is difficult, and they're It's life or death. We're fighting for their lives. I'll be real with you. There is more overdoses right now that I've seen in Teen Challenge, and I've been involved in this ministry or working for this ministry for 18 years come December. I've never seen it as the way it is right now. Fentanyl just takes, there's no second chances with fentanyl. And we're seeing it just take people's lives. And I would just say, even if maybe God just put one of these guys on your heart, like, I would just, if you want to pray with them, that's okay. At some point after this service, or if he wants to pray for you, we would love to do that. Thank you for just opening your hearts up to us. Yeah. Amazing barbecue, just allowing us to be a part of church today with you guys. And can I pray with you guys? Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, your compassion, your hope, Lord, that you're still a miracle-working God. I pray right now for those, Lord, that you're stirring something in them, God, that they needed to hear this message, Lord, that you would inspire them, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to them, give them boldness if they need prayer. But, Lord, we just thank you, and we worship you this morning, God. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We testify of your work, Lord God. What you did in these lives, what you're doing in the lives of people in this congregation. And so, God, we give you today, Lord. Thank you for this food. Thank you for our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was amazing. And I want to invite the worship team to come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is amazing. I carry those crisis cards in my wallet to be ready in season and out of season, ready to hand to somebody. And it takes, they talk about psychology, that it takes like seven invitations to receive Christ, seven invitations for people to act on dealing with their addictions. And I know, maybe you know, people keep saying that they want to get free and then they bail. They say they're ready and then they bail. They're ready and then you just like, you want to say, well, forget it. I've heard this before. But continue to be extending God's love to them, knowing that you just caring about them matters, that it is having an impact. And we've been supporting since Teen Challenge first came. That's almost 10 years ago when you guys first, we try to have Teen Challenge every single year that we've had the Women's Center here. Is it's not just a guy problem. Ma'am, it's a woman problem too. And so we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we love partnering with Teen Challenge to see that happen. And so Jackie and I have been supporting monthly support, because it's hard to come up with that much money that you would love just to bless people with millions of dollars. And God says, hey, $45 a month. Can you look and see how God's blessed you and then put that aside? And what a great witness. And thanks, guys. As we have barbecue, would you make a purpose to sit next to some of them? Because there are stories of God's provision and influence in their lives that you didn't hear, that the tip of the iceberg got shared of how God impacted in just prayer. Because the reality is that the future is insecure, because there's temptations as they get back into the world and begin, just like they talk about, practicing what they're learning. That they're just like, for all of us, there's no guarantees. Jesus is the only one that's guaranteed that we be faithful to follow him and recognize there's danger. There's an enemy who prowls around, right, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And just because you go to church doesn't mean, hey, yeah, hands off. No, you be aware that there's an enemy of our soul. Well, why don't you stand with me as we close with worship? Thank you so much, Kyle.